Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so this is the bit nobody tells you about shipping AI into production. You build an agent. It works beautifully in testing. You deploy it. It handles customer support tickets or generates code or books meetings. And for the first few weeks, everything looks fine. Then one day, someone mentions that the quality feels off. You check the logs. No errors. No alerts. The system is still running. But when you actually look at the outputs, your support agent was resolving 70% of tickets last month. This month, it is 65%, and nobody noticed until customers started complaining. This is the quiet failure mode of AI systems. They do not crash, they drift. Enaton just published something that addresses this head-on. It is called the Production AI Playbook, and it is all about evaluation and monitoring. Not the exciting stuff, the unglamorous stuff that stops your AI from silently getting worse over time. The core insight is this. Once an agent leaves the lab and starts handling real work, you need a way to measure whether it is actually getting better or worse. And you need that measurement to happen automatically, on a schedule, so you catch drift before your users do. The playbook breaks this into five concrete approaches. Exact matching works for structured outputs, classification, data extraction, anything with a clear right answer. LLM as a judge handles the subjective stuff, whether a customer support response actually sounds helpful, whether generated code does what you intended. Tool use evaluation, which is specific to agents, checks whether an agent called the right APIs in the right order. Safety evaluation catches PII leaks and policy violations, and the strongest systems, they combine all of them. What makes this practical is the templates. N8N gives you workflows for building golden datasets, scheduling recurring evals, and setting alert thresholds so quality problems trigger automatically. This is not theory. This is the plumbing you need if you are shipping AI into production and you want to sleep at night. The takeaway? AI drift is not a bug. It is a characteristic of the technology. The only question is whether you are measuring it. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Now, this connects to something Ethel Pratt published this week that I have not stopped thinking about. It is called the AI agent work that has budget right now. And it is a ranked breakdown of 10 AI agent categories that have actual commercial traction, not demos, not proofs of concept, real deployments with real money behind them. The list is filtered hard. Public deployment proof, outcome pricing, or hiring signals that show companies are building these things at scale. And the results are clarifying. Customer support resolution agents rank first. The reason is HubSpot. They move to outcome-based pricing. You pay per resolved conversation, not per prompt. That changes the entire game. It means the vendor owns the quality risk, and it means businesses have a clear ROI calculation. Prospecting SDRs rank second, same logic. The KPI is obvious. Booked meetings. Either the agent books meetings or it does not. No ambiguity. Voice receptionists and coding agents follow because they solve measurable problems with measurable ROI. The pattern is clear. The agent work that has budget right now is the work where you can point to a number and say, this saved us X hours or this generated X revenue. Everything else? Still in the land of pilot projects and proof of concept budgets. What this really means is that the agent hype is starting to sort itself. The stuff that works is the stuff with clear success metrics, and the stuff with clear success metrics is the stuff that connects directly to N8N's evaluation framework. If you cannot measure it, you cannot sell it. And if you cannot monitor it, you cannot keep it running. Have a think about where your own agent work sits on that spectrum. Completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me. Colin Angle, the person who built Roomba, is building a companion robot. Not a cleaning robot, not a task robot, a companion. And the design philosophy is genuinely different. The company is called Familiar Machines. The robot is a quadruped, think dog-shaped, with 23 degrees of freedom, touch-sensitive materials, and edge AI that lets it develop personality over time. No screens, no conversation. It is competing on emotional consistency rather than raw intelligence. And here is the thing that stood out to me. Angle is not trying to build a robot that answers questions or automates chores. He is trying to build a robot that you form an emotional bond with. The familiar is designed to be present, to respond to touch, to feel like it has a personality that evolves based on how you interact with it. This is a completely different bet to the agents we were just talking about. Those agents succeed or fail based on measurable outcomes. This robot succeeds or fails based on whether people actually care about it. I'm not sure yet whether this works, but I am fascinated by the attempt. Because if Angle pulls this off, he will have built something that does not fit into any of the existing AI categories. Not a tool, not an assistant, something else entirely, something to think about on the commute home. Right, let me lighten things up a bit. ABB Robotics just launched something called Omnivance. It is a plug-and-play collaborative robot cell for sanding and polishing. And the reason I am bringing this up is because it solves a real problem in a really boring way. Manufacturing has a labor shortage in surface finishing, sanding, polishing, the kind of work that requires skill but is hard on the body. And most small manufacturers cannot justify the cost or complexity of custom robotic setups. Omnivance addresses this by being stupid simple. No custom programming. You load the part, the system scans it, and the robot does the work. Programming time drops by 90%, and it is affordable enough for high-mix production environments where you are constantly switching between different parts. This is not sexy, but it is the kind of automation that actually matters. It takes a job that humans do not want to do, makes it economically viable to automate, and does not require a robotics PhD to set up. The big picture today? The best technology is often the most boring. Okay, so Ben Thompson wrote something this week that reframes the entire AI infrastructure race. The piece is called Amazon's Durability. And the argument is that Amazon is positioned to win the AI inference era despite losing the training race, not because they have the best models, because they have the best infrastructure. AWS spent the last decade building custom chips, investing in power infrastructure, and remaining neutral toward frontier models. And that neutrality is the key. Microsoft and Google both have existential conflicts between their software products and their cloud customer needs. If you are building on Azure, are you a customer or a competitor to Copilot? If you are building on GCP, same question with Gemini. AWS does not have that problem. They do not care which model you use. They just want to run your inference workloads. And as inference costs become the dominant cost in AI, that neutrality becomes a structural advantage. The takeaway? The companies that win AI might not be the companies with the best models. They might be the companies with the cheapest, most reliable place to run them. Ask yourself, where does your inference run, and who owns that relationship? So, stepping back from all of that, here is what I keep coming back to. The thread running through today is measurement. The agents that have budget are the ones with clear KPIs. The AI systems that stay reliable are the ones with evaluation frameworks. The infrastructure that wins is the infrastructure that makes costs predictable. And the companion robot? That is the outlier. The bet that emotional connection might matter more than measurable outcomes. I do not know if it works, but I am glad someone is trying. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. That is it for now. Thanks for listening.